ध्यायामो धवलावकुण्डलवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्ठिकीं स्निग्धावाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीं मधुसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम्। We are discussing Samudra Lahari, the work of Shankara. We are discussing the 31st shloka of Samudra Lahari. So as usual, Shankara is speaking about Mahima of Devi. And here he is speaking about, he is speaking in specific about Sri Vidya, the tantram called Sri Vidya. So it's called Sri Vidya, or Dashamaha Vidya is also another name for it. But Sri Vidya is the Upasana Vidhi that is prescribed for Devi or Shaktas. So it is said that there are 64 Tantras. I am not sure about what the Tantras are, what all are the 64 Tantras, but it is said that there are 64 Tantras. But Sri Vidya is, or the Tantra for Devi, is something which is beyond all Tantras. It is the greatest of all Tantras because it is about Devi. So it is about that Devi who is Advitiya Brahman, that Devi who alone exists, that Devi who is the essence of all beings, essence of existence in general itself. And speaking about Tantra, in general there are three things that we need to know with respect to any god or any Devata. Whenever we are worshipping any Devata, we need to know three things about the Devata that we worship. We cannot say, I worship Krishna, I am a Krishna Bhakta, but I don't know what is the mantra for Krishna. It's like as foolish as telling that I stay in United States, but I don't know to read English. So it will be that kind of situation if we don't know what are the three basic things that a person should know in order to implement complete devotion of the particular Devata. So ultimately it all boils down to just contemplating on the Ishvara, contemplating on the particular God at all times. But in if that alone was enough, that alone is enough for a person who is completely into spirituality, person who is 100% into spirituality. For people like us who just want temporary relief, for people like us who can't escape from the world due to n number of reasons, like we can claim or we can go on adding reasons as much as we want, and thereby we seek relief in the form of some spiritual knowledge, some bliss, and thereby we learn. So for people like us, it is not enough to just contemplate on Brahman, contemplate on a particular Ishvara, contemplate on Amma. If that was enough, then we would be realized by now. We will not be learning Samudra Lahari itself. So the very reason we are learning Samudra Lahari itself means that we are not completely into spirituality. If we are not completely into spirituality, then we need to know certain things about the Devata whom we worship. We cannot also say that I am a Nirguna Bhakta, I am a Nirguna Upasaka, and all those things like are, you know, like foolish statements if we say that, because a Nirguna Bhakta is a person who sees Brahman everywhere. If a person sees Brahman everywhere, he is so advanced in spirituality that like he is almost into spirituality. He will not live in the world. He will not live like a normal worldly person. And since we all live in the world like a worldly person, therefore we cannot also escape by telling that I am a Nirguna Upasaka. I don't have any God. I worship Nirgunam. So we cannot say that as well. So the three things that are essential, or essentially a person should know in order to implement devotion or worship of a particular Devata, are Tantra, Mantra and Yantra. So Tantram, Mantram and Yantram, these three are the three basic things that a person needs to know with respect to a particular Devata. So Mantram is a sacred syllable which invokes the particular Devata. For example, the mantra Om Namah Shivaya. Om Namah Shivaya is a mantra which invokes Shiva. So So it invokes Shiva, thereby that means like we are invoking Shiva, which means we are contemplating on Shiva, we are calling upon Shiva to be with us, to fill his grace upon us. So that is mantra. Mantra is the first part. Then the second we can say that yantram. So yantram means like the particular platform, or we can say yantram is the particular abode of the god. So some gods like Vaikunda and all those things, like Homakunda in this particular format. So yantram. Yantram is the place where the particular goddess lives or resides. So generally yantram is like the goddess or the particular god resides. Doesn't mean it's Vaikuntham or Kailasam, but it generally means like a kind of drawing kind of thing, artistic drawing, which in turn is the abode of the particular god. So if we draw a particular artistic drawing, then in that we can say Devi resides. So for Devi it is Sri Chakram. So the drawing of Sri Chakram is the yantram for Devi. So mantram of for Devi is, we'll come to that later. So mantram, yantram, and then there is tantram. Tantram means the vidhi or the way to do it. So we know the mantram, we know the yantram. So we have Sri Chakram, we have drawn Sri Chakram in front of us in our mind or externally, and then we know the mantram. But that's not enough. There is a vidhi as to how to do it. That is called tantram. So the way of doing is called tantram. So yantram, mantram, and tantram. So there is a beautiful song of Amma. Sri Chakram ennoru chakramundu, adil Sri Vidya ennoru devi undu. So Sri Chakram, what is the essence of Sri Chakram? Sri Chakram ennoru chakramundu. There is a yantram called Sri Chakram. And that the goddess who resides in the particular yantram is Sri Vidya. So Sri Vidya is also like the vidhi as well. It's a tantram as well. That means the way to do upasana is, the upasana vidhi for Devi is called Sri Vidya. And what does the Sri Chakram indicate? Chakra swarupiniyaya Devi loka chakram tirikunna shaktiyane. Chakra Swarupini Aya Devi, the Devi who is of the form of Chakram. Chakram, Sri Chakram is the yantram or the yantram or the place for Devi. Sri Chakram is the body of Devi. We can consider that Devi is, its Devi is abode. So that Devi who is of the form of Sri Chakram, that Devi, what is the essence of Sri Chakram? Her body is called Sri Chakram because she is the Chakram, she is the basis for the entire world. She is the chakram which turns the world, which moves the world. That means she is controlling time and space. So she is the controller of the entire world. We can consider this world as a vehicle in which the wheel is Devi. So Devi is that chakram which controls the entire world. That is the essence. But yeah, Sri Vidya is the upasana vidhi or the tantram for Devi. The yantram is Sri Chakram, and the mantram is called Panchadasha mantram. So it's also the mantra with 15 syllables. So it has many names. So one is the very popular name is like Panchadasha mantram. Panchadasha mantram. I forgot the word, exact word. It's not coming to my mind now, but the mantram for Devi, it has a particular name as well. So that mantram is based upon the work of Devi, which is called Trishati. So 15 syllabled mantram. So Panchadasha mantram, or yeah, I think Panchadasha mantram. So that mantram, 15 syllables, like 15 syllables of the mantra. So create 20 names starting with each of the syllable. So that means 15 into 20, which becomes 300. So if we analyze Lalita Trishati, the first 20 namas start with Ka, Kakaru Rupai Namaha, and then the next 20 namas start with Ekaru Rupai Namaha, then it starts with E, Ekaru Rupai Namaha, then Lakaru Rupai Namaha, then Reemkaru Rupai Namaha. So thus it goes. So it is like the 15 syllable mantra. It is very sacred. It's so powerful. That's the reason why Lalita Trishati is more powerful than Lalita Sahasranama. Lalita Sahasranama will give us only worldly pleasures, whereas Trishyati will guard us from everything. So the aitihyam of the story goes that Hayagriva instructed Agastya, sage Agastya, who was a Devi Bhakta, the Lalita Sahasranama, but Agastya wasn't happy with it. Thereby, like, Agastya felt as if he is missing something. So even after learning Lalita Sahasranama, he felt as if he is missing something. So he asked Hayagriva. Hayagriva said, "I cannot give you that. Go away, I cannot give you." But then Agastya would not leave him. At that time, Hayagriva, like, decides to give. At that moment, Devi herself appears. So that is the mahima of Lalita Trishyati, which is Godam. So Lalita Trishyati, chanting of Lalita Trishyati is chanting of the mantra, which is the basis for Lalita Trishyati. So that is the mantra. And then the chakram is Sri Chakram, which Shankara has already spoken about. And then the next is Sri Vidya, or the Upasana Vidhi. Each and every Upasana, or each and every, we have a particular Upasana Vidhi. So Upasana, or Shankara has already spoken about the Upasana Vidhi, or the way to worship a particular goddess or particular aspects of Devi in all these shlokas. But Sri Vidya means that tantram of worshipping Devi. We can consider it as worship of Amma, like whatever the way Amma says. So as we have to worship, so we can consider it that. But Sri Vidya is the Upasana Vidhi, or the yantram behind Devi, and that is so powerful. So the yantram or the Vidhi to do it is like we have to utilize the mantra. We have to imagine Devi as situated in the particular chakra, and then do all sorts of worship, whatever we can do, like from pada to hasta, and hasta to pada, from head to toe to head, all kind, like imagining Devi, each and every aspect of Devi, and doing all sorts of abhishekam to Devi. That is Sri Vidya Upasana. So Shankara would be, he has already explained about the different kinds of vidhi, ways to worship, but here he is saying that this is the particular yantra for Devi, which is called Sri Vidya. Upasana Vidhi is called Sri Vidya, or the tantra, sorry, not yantram, it's the tantram. Tantra is called Sri Vidya. And Sri Chakram, about the yantram, he has already spoken. And then in the next shloka, and the next few shlokas, he will be speaking about the mantram of Devi, which we will see in the next day. But today, like, Shankara is speaking about tantram of Devi, as to what is the mahima of the tantram. So the mahima of the tantram, the importance of the tantram, the reason why this tantram, Devi's tantram, is greater than all deities, like the tantram of all deities, is because it depends on Devi, on that Devi who is Nitya Jagat Adhishthana, that Devi who is present everywhere, that Devi who is the substratum of the illusory world. That is what gives importance to this this tantram of Devi. And this tantram of Devi we have already learnt in the previous shlokas as to why Devi is different from other devatas. So Shankara, in the very fourth shloka, in the starting of the work itself, in the fourth shloka, he speaks about Tvadanya Panibhyam Abhayavarato Devata Ganaha. So other than you, all devatas will have Abhayam and Varam in their hand. So they show, they demonstrate, and then they give. But for you, Bhayatratum Dhatum Phalam Apicha Vanchasam Adhikam. So without displaying, you give. And how do you give? Vancha asam adhikam. Like whatever you ask, more than that. You don't need to ask. So Shankara, in at the next few shlokas, like fifth, sixth, and other shloka, he speaks about Devi's mahima, or Devi's greatness, that like you just have to imagine in your mind and Devi will fulfill it. And this is not a mere statement of Shankara or any realized saint, but we can experience it if we surrender to Amma. The moment we surrender, we develop bhakti towards Amma, we become real Sri Vidya Upasaka, then we will be able to feel the reality or the truth in these statements of Shankara, that whoever worships Devi, like, they don't need to ask, they will get everything. So this shloka is set in the in another popular raga which is called Mukhari. चतुष्षष्ट्यातन्त्रै सकलमतिसन्धाय भुवनम् स्थितस्तत्सिद्धि प्रसवपरतन्त्रै पशुपति पुनस्त्वर्नर्बन्धात् अखिल पुरुषातैकघटना स्वतन्त्रं ते तन्त्रं क्षितितलमवातीतरधिदम्. So this is it in I don't remember any songs in Mukhari, but it's a very popular raga in Carnatic. It's a very popular raga in Carnatic. So let's see the meaning of the shloka. So this speaks about the 64 tantras that are available and Devi's tantra, the tantra of Devi, which is Sri Vidya, being above all these tantras. So if we have to say that the tantra of Devi is above all these tantras, then we have to go to the source as to find out how Devi's tantra was created, how the 64 tantras were created. So when majority of people in the world, they say that Bhagavadam is not a Puranam. Bhagavadam is a Mahapuranam. So why do they say that? Because they go to the source or the origin of Bhagavadam itself. So when they try to find out the origin of Bhagavadam, then they find that Veda Vyasa wrote the four Vedas. He wrote like 18 Puranas. He wrote the 18 main Puranas and 18 Upapuranas as well, but still he wrote like Mahabharatam as well, but he wasn't satisfied. And that is when Narada comes to him and instructs him to write about Ishvara and Ishvara alone, nothing else, no dharma, no adharma, no worldly matters, no samskaras, no you have to do this, you have to do that and all, but mere truth alone. So that is what is the importance or essence of Bhagavatam. And it is said that Veda Vyasa, upon instructed or like upon the like he followed the instruction of Narada, and thereby he became peaceful. So that is the reason why, since like Bhagavatam gave peace to its author, which the author wasn't able to gain after writing everything else. Therefore, Bhagavatam is called Mahapuranam. Similarly, here, like if we have to say Devi's Tantra, the Sri Vidya, the Upasana of Sri Vidya is greater than all other Vidyas, then all other Tantras, then we have to go to the source. So who creates these Tantras? Pashupatihi. So Pashupatihi means Shiva or Sadashiva is the person who creates these Tantras. So Pashupati has multiple meanings in the Shaiva system. Pashu means a bonded person. So Pashu is not just cows. In Sanskrit or in ancient literature, Pashu doesn't mean mere cows. That's the reason why Shankara in his Adhyasa Bhashyam, as well as the first four shloka Bhashyam, he compares man to Pashu, being a Pashu, if he doesn't use his intellect. So Pashu means bonded jiva is called Pashu, and Pati is the owner, the person who controls these Pashus, who will be able to get these Pashus out of their state of bondage. And how is he able to do that? Sadashiva is able to get us out of bondage because Devi pervades him. Devi is the power behind Sadashiva. Shiva Shaktya Yukto Yadi Bhavati Shaktaha Prabhavitum. Without the power of Shakti, Shiva cannot move at all. So that is the essence of the very first shloka of Saundar Lahari. So this doesn't mean, oh, Shakti is greater than Shiva. We cannot say it like that. So that's why it is said Shiva Shakti Aike Rupini. So Devi is like Shiva and Shakti both. Shiva we can say the conscious principle is called Shiva. Shakti is the power that makes things work. So the power and existence both go together. We cannot say one is like, it's like electricity. Electricity is the power, but electricity, if it has to get manifested, we need a bulb. So both power as well as like existence go together. So Shiva or the conscious principle, and Shakti, the power, or the very power of existence, both go together. So consciousness of Shiva and the power of Devi both go together. We cannot separate it, and they are not different as well. Like the moment consciousness is there, power is there for consciousness to act. Consciousness has the power to display things, everything it has. So power is there, but consciousness is not there. Such a state is not there. We don't have a state where like consciousness is not there, power is there, and the other way around as well. Consciousness is there, but power is not there. So both are together, same, like we don't need to split. But Pashupati, or the person who controls bonded jivas, or Shiva, he is the person who creates 64 tantras. So Pashupati, he tattat siddhi prasavaha. Sorry, tattat siddhi prasava paratantraihi. Tattat siddhi prasava. So, tattat siddhi. Those siddhi are like prasava, granting or giving. Prasava means seed. So, here the meaning would become giving or granting. So, Pashupatihi, he tattat siddhi prasava paratantraihi. Paratantraihi means different tantras. Tattat siddhi prasava, that means giving, each one giving a different, distinct fruit. And how much this like amounts to? Like 64 tantras. Chatushashtya tantraihi, 64 tantras. He creates these 64 tantras. Sakalam bhuvanam. Sakalam, all these, bhuvanam, or like all, or the entire world, bhuvanam. Atisandhaya stitaha, atisandhaya, after giving stitaha, he then relaxed. So Shiva is the person giving 64 tantras. So one reason why 64 tantras, like Devi's tantra is greater than 64 tantras, is that Devi's tantra or Devi's upasana, upasana of Devi itself means that mithya jagad adishthana. The moment we don't follow that, like trinayataha, that means mithya jagad adishthana. If we don't really follow that, we are not following Sri Vidya. But a person who has the clear conviction about the world being an illusion, such a person is a real Sri Vidya Bhakta, and for such a person, the 64 tantras will only give their own specific fruits, whereas Devi's Sri Vidya Upasana or Sri Vidya Tantram will give all benefits, because Devi is the substratum of the illusory world. That means it will take us beyond the sorrows of the world. That's why Mahasambhartagnihi. So it will take us beyond all the sorrows of the world. That means it will give everything, whatever we need to know, that we will get. So one reason why the Devi's Tantra is better or greater than the 64 Tantras is because each of those 64 Tantras give only specific fruits, whereas Devi's Tantra gives all together. And then the second reason is because Sadashiva created the 64 tantras, and then stitaha, he just relaxed, he just stayed as if. Then punaha, then again he started creation of the tantras. He started creating tantras and exposing it to the world, exposing it to worldly people. Why? Tvatnirbhanda, because of your forcing, because of your nirbhandam, because of that. Akila Purushartha Yeka Gatana. So he created a tantram. Akila Purushartha Yeka Gatana. That which is able to give all Purusharthas. Whatever Purushartha we have. Like, it's not just the four Purusharthas, but whatever category of arthas, category of seeking or desire that we can establish in the world, that we can categorize in the world, all those will be got by eka gatana, by just one. Swatantram, swatantram, swatantram means your own tantram. Your own tantram, te tantram. So swatantram, te tantram, swatantram. So like here, like maybe swatantram means like one's own tantram, but here swatantram can also like has to be interpreted in a different way. It has to mean the normal swatantram or freedom or independent. So independent te tantram, independent your tantram which is independent, which is akila purushartha eka gatana, which has all the purusharthas, which satisfies all purushartha that you told him to create. Therefore, idam. Idam means this, Sri Vidya. At the end of the shloka comes idam. This Sri Vidya. Shititalam. Shititalam. Shiti. Kshiti means bhulokam. Or kshiti means like that place which undergoes kshayam. So that place like which undergoes decay is called kshiti. So bhulokam is the place where things decay. People like go from one state to another state. That means a lower birth to higher birth and also shiti talam. Talam means like place. So bhutalam. Bhutalam means bhulokam. To bhulokam. Shiti talam. Avati tarat idam. So avati, like maybe the if you are looking at the Sanskrit, like the Malayalam, sorry, the Tamil book it from Ramakrishna Mission, then the splitting is wrong there. So it should be shiti talam avati tarat idam. So shiti talam avati tarat means like he created. Avati tarat means avataram. So he created this. So the second reason why Devi Sri Vidya Tantram is greater than other tantram is because even after creation of all these tantras, Devi wasn't satisfied. Devi knew that there is something else which can be given to the entire world, which is more powerful than these tantras. Thereby, she instructed Sadashiva to give it. That's the reason, second reason why Devi's Tantra or Sri Vidya is greater. So the two reasons why Sri Vidya Devi Upasana is greater than any Devata Upasana, because Devi's Upasana is like Akila Purusharta Yeka Gatana, whereas other are Tatta Siddhi Prasavaha, gives only that Siddhi, like particular Siddhi. 64 Tantras give their own Siddhis, each has distinctive fruits, whereas your tantra or the Sri Vidya Tantram Akila Purushartha Yeka Gatana, it gives the fruit of everything. We just need that alone. And then the second reason is you were not satisfied with 64 tantras created by Sadashiva. Therefore you asked him to create Sri Vidya for people of the world to gain Anandam. So this doesn't mean that Devi's Tantra is great, followers of Shiva, they are like weak. Followers of Vishnu, they are nowhere near. So if we try to analyze or understand that way, then we will be the people who will miss the real meaning and import of these devotional works. So Devi's Tantra or Sri Vidya Upasana is great. Why? Because Sri Vidya Upasana is Brahma Vidya Upasana. It is Upasana of Nirguna Parabrahman. It is Upasana of that entity which alone is real. Everything else is an illusion in the reality. Therefore, Sri Vidya Upasana is greater. If Vishnu Upasana means like worshipping Vishnu as pervading the entire world, that is the very same as Devi Upasana. So in Devi Upasana, we just give a form to Devi, that's it. So Sri Chakram, like we already learned Shitaushat Panchashad Vidamarika Panchashad Udake Utashe Dvashashtish. So in previous shlokas, Shankara spoke about the Sri Chakram and as to what is the meaning of Sri Chakram. So it Sri Chakram denotes the entire world. So it means the entire world, the tattvas, pancha tattvas and all those things encompass, or they are the basis for Sri Chakram. Sri Chakram itself means that. So that means Sri Chakram, the yantram of Sri Chakram is the entire world. And mantram is that mantram which invokes this particular Devi. It invokes Nirguna Brahman. And the Vidhi is like seeing Devi everywhere, seeing Devi as the substratum of the illusory world. That's the reason why it is greater. So any Devata Upasana which follows this mode, any Devata Upasana which makes its object nothing but Nirguna Parabrahman, directly or indirectly it makes the object as Nirguna Parabrahman, that is greater. So there are many people who are Sri Vidya Upasakas. Like if we talk to various Shastris and all, like various Dikshitar or Shastri Dikshitars and all, they are people who have done all these Upasanas. So they are Sri Vidya Upasakas. They claim themselves to be Sri Vidya Upasakas, but they are nowhere near to realization. They are nowhere near to Mithya Jagat Adhishthana. They will not acknowledge Mithya Jagat Adhishthana because they see Devi in the form. So they claim themselves to be Sri Vidya Upasakas, but they are not Sri Vidya Upasakas. So such people are not worshipping the real Sri Vidya, and therefore their Upasana will not give them Akhila Purusharthik Ghatana. It won't give them Akhila Purushartham because they're not worshipping in the right way. So it doesn't matter which Devata we worship. The basis for all Devata is a Mantram, Yantram and Tantram. So Mantram, there will be different syllables, so it may differ from Devata to Devata. And then Tantram and Yantram also will differ. Tantram, the Vidhi is going to be the same because everywhere you have to see the particular Ishvara. That particular Ishvara has to pervade the entire world. That is the goal. And like unlike Vishnu Sahasranama, which is crisp, like which doesn't openly acknowledge Advaita, Lalita Sahasranama openly gives a lot of shlokas which speak about Devi as Nirguna Brahman. Therefore, like it is more. It is advisable for a seeker to follow Devi. If he cannot worship Nirguna, if he cannot do Nirguna Upasana, then it is better to do Devi Upasana, because when he starts learning as to what is Sri Vidya, what is Devi, then he will automatically be led to Nirguna Brahman. So Devi's worship or Sri Vidya is nothing but worship of Nirguna Brahman with the knowledge that everything is an illusion in Devi. And this worship will lead us to the truth. It will lead us to the truth. It will lead us to the goal of realization. It will lead us to that state wherein we will have no more desires. We will not have any desires left. All our desires will be fulfilled. Our mind will become peace. We will be rejoicing in bliss. As Shankara says, Nandati Nandati Nandatyeva. So such a person will always be rejoicing. Whatever he does, yogharatova, bhogharatova, sangharatova, sangavihinaha, yasya brahmani ramate chittam nandati nandati nandatyeva. Yogharatova, bhogharatova, yogharataha is doing yoga, or bhogharatova is doing bhogam, bhogasukam. Sangharatova is attached to people, associated with people, sangavihinaha, without any sangam. But yasya brahmani ramate chittam, yasya chittam brahmani ramate, whose mind is indulging in Brahman, whose mind is indulging in Devi, whose mind is always thinking about that Devi who is substratum of the illusory world, whose mind is worshipping Devi as Tvam Ahamiti. So as you are myself, you alone are present in the entire world. Whatever I see is you alone. Such a person, Nandati Nandati Nandatyeva. He'll always rejoice whether externally he is doing different activities. So Sri Vidya Upasana. So if we want ourselves to be called as followers of Devi, followers of Amma, devotees of Amma, then we need to follow this Sri Vidya. We need to follow Sri Vidya Upasana. We need to implement Sri Vidya Upasana in our life. And in order to do that, we already have learnt about Sri Chakram. So we need to know the importance of Sri Chakram. What does Sri Chakram denote? What does it mean? We should be able to explain. We should be able to draw Sri Chakram at least to an extent. And like Sri Vidya Upasana, we already, like the Tantram, we all already know as to seeing Devi everywhere, worshipping Devi as pervading the entire world. Everywhere, everything is an illusion of Nama Rupam in Devi. And then the mantra is the basis for Lalitadrishari, which we'll see tomorrow. We'll see the next shloka and the next day. Hari Om.